verses 11 and 12, and then we're going to go to chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Now remember, this is the launching board for what we've been talking about in 1 Peter, that you are to live a beautiful life so that you may point others to see the glory of God, to see the Lord Jesus Christ. So now let's read chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Likewise, husbands, be subject to your... be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we ask, Lord, that you would now speak to us. Speak to us, Lord, and change our lives. Bring us into conformity with the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. For, Lord, it is a farce for us to claim to know Jesus, but not to follow in his steps. So we ask, Lord, that you would work your way, your will, and your power in our life, that we might live a beautiful life before your face. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I said that the reformed husband is a husband that doesn't think he's got it all right in his duties as a husband. The reformed husband is one who is willing to listen to God's word, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And I ask you, husbands, tonight, is that you? Are you that husband who's willing to be a reformed husband? Are you willing to hear God's word and reform your life to what it teaches? Are you willing to throw off everything that does not conform to God's word on being a husband? Because this is where we're headed tonight in this message. And I want you to know that the word of God calls you to be right with him by being right with your wife. And you may say that, well, it's true about the wife too, right? Sure it is. But the passage tonight is about husbands. The Word of God calls us to be right with Him by doing right towards our wives. And as I said before, Peter connects this passage with the framework of verses 11 and 12 that we just read. The idea that you are called to live a beautiful life that points lost sinners to the glory of God, that they may see His glory. And I want to ask you husbands this as well. Have you ever looked at your marriage and thought, this is a means of evangelism? How I treat my wife is a testimony to Jesus Christ and the life-changing power that I'm claiming to have experienced. How you treat your wife is a means of pointing people to see the glory of God. It's that serious. How you treat your wife, your marriage is not just for you. Your marriage is for God to use in His kingdom to point others to see His glory. And husbands, that's why you must take it serious. That's why you must not joke about your wife to others. That's not why you must not speak to her in ways that are not glorifying to God. But we're going to get into more of that in just a minute. I want you to look at verse 7 because that is where we're going to focus tonight. And first thing Peter says is likewise. And this word likewise is pointing us back to what we've already heard in chapter 3 and chapter 2. That you are to humbly submit yourself to these other things like civil government, your employer. Likewise, wives are to submit themselves to their husband, humbly submitting themselves. So likewise, there is a call here for husbands as well to do some of these things. And one of those things is to follow in Jesus' footsteps, just like in the civil realm and your community and the workplace. We are to follow in the footsteps of Christ. And so your marriage is that same way. But this is even more specific than your marriage. It is to the point of how you treat your wife. How you treat your wife. Not just marriage in general. It's not how the wife treats you tonight. Husbands, it is how you treat your wife. God calls you to be right with Him by being and doing right towards your wife. In verse 7, we're going to see the command to live with your wife, number one, and number two, the conditions upon which you are to live with your wife. Now, next time that I preach from this chapter, we're going to finish the second half of verse 7, where we're going to see the motives of the Reformed husband for doing this and the consequences if you don't or if you do. Because there are some. So verse 7, the first thing I want you to see, husbands, you are called to live with your wife. Now this is a simple statement. You may say, well, I see that right there in the verse. Why are you going to make such a big deal about that? But there's something in here. There's several things in here that if we're not careful, we just gloss over and we don't pick it up. And that's why we read Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 25, to give us some background on what it means to live with your wife. In the Genesis passage we read, it revealed to us that a man is to cleave to his wife. This means be bonded with her. When a man takes a wife, they become one flesh. There is no longer two individuals in one sense going in different directions. They are now one flesh. They are sticking together, going in the same direction, working together in harmony with one another according to God's will. And this is living with your wife. And one of the keys, and it's in this verse, it's right there in front of you. One of the keys to living with your wife is that you are actually with your wife. You're actually with your wife. You're physically present with her. Husbands, if you're finding that your work, that your ministry, that your hobbies or other activities are taking you more of your time than you're giving to your wife, then your life is out of balance. Your priorities are not right. Your relationship with your wife is the most important relationship you have with a human being on this earth. That's God's priority. More important than any other human being, husband, is your wife. And God says that's His priority. You're to live with her. You're to be with her. In order for you to answer this call from God to live with your wife, you must be there. You must be there. It's that simple. That's one of the things it says here. Live with your wife. Now there is more to it than that, but just being there is not the only call on your life here. A husband can be there. He can be home. He can be in the presence of his wife and still not be living with his wife. I think that's given creation to one of these things nowadays that we call a man cave. You ever heard of the man cave?
Oh, yeah.
Where there's a certain section in a man's house where he has this one little room where he can go and escape whatever it is he needs to escape. A man cave. There's a whole industry. Right now you can get on Amazon, type in man cave, and you're going to come up with all kinds of products to make this little place, whatever it might be out in the shed, might be an extra bedroom, where the guy can have that cave where he can just get away, most likely, from his wife and do his own thing, whatever it might be that he wants to do. Well, that's not what God is calling you to do when He says to live with your wife. The idea is that you are living with her. Not just present with her, but living with her. Your life is intertwined with her life. And you are one flesh, not two flesh, living in the same place, but two different lives. So it's being with her, but not just being with her, it's living with her. And you also are only to be living with her. Living with her. You are to live with your wife, the text says. I have no doubt that most men in this world would say, well, I only have one wife in the house. Who would have more than one wife? Sometimes we bring other women into our homes through the TV, through pornography, whatever it might be. And we're not just living with our wife. We're bringing other women in through fantasy or even through our thoughts. But Peter tells us here to live with your wife. The one that you have taken vows to. The one that you have committed to. You are to live with that person. And not hurt people of fantasy. And if you are doing this, if you are seeking to be with other women through these means, or also physically to be with other women, you need to stop. You need to stop right now. You need to confess it as sin. You need to get rid of whatever device that is allowing you to bring women into your home that are not your wife. And I say that to the men who are not married even at this point. That what you are doing now, if you are looking at pornography or you're looking and fantasizing about other women, you are filling up your mind and your heart with these things that they will not go away just because you get married someday. That's a foolish thought. And so stop doing it. If you are a person in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have one wife, and you are to be living with her. To live with your wife is such a simple state. Just in these four words, we see how many things are there. To live is to have a life together. Not two separate lives. Because you're not two separate people. The Scripture tells us that you are one flesh. And if you were to lose that life partner, that marriage partner, it would need to be, if it was really you and her together, it would be like losing a part of your soul. That's what marriage is. A oneness. A one flesh. Living together. So that's what God is calling you husbands to do. To live with your wife. Just your wife. Be there. And live with her. That's God's call upon your life. And when God calls us to do something, He often tells us how He wants it done. And so it is with His call upon you husbands to live with your wife. God gives us in verse 7 the conditions upon which we are to live with our wives. He does not leave it to your imagination or to your creation. He doesn't leave it to you to determine how you're going to live with your wife. He says, here is what I want you to do. And He gives us two ways here. Also, in verse 7, the husband is to live with his wife in an understanding way. You see that part there? Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. This word, understanding, means to have knowledge. It means to know your wife. To know who she is. Now, how does a person really get to know someone? I'm always impressed when I meet somebody who's an expert in their field. Whatever that field might be, I can tell that these people know what they're talking about. They have an in-depth knowledge of the subject matter. They've had field experience or on-the-job training or something like that over years and years. And they're experts in their field. They know what they're talking about when they speak. Husbands, that's what we are to be like with our wives. We are to be experts about our wives. God is telling us here that we are to know them. And when it comes to knowing and understanding your wife, you should be a student of her. A student of her. To be an expert in your field of your wife. Now, one way to know your wife is to look to the one who created her. If you want to know something about a particular subject, if you wanted to know something about a particular subject, you don't go to somebody who's read a book about it and can maybe tell you about it. Wouldn't you rather go to the guy who wrote the book? And God is the one who created the woman, and so it would be a blessing to us husbands to go to the original source to know our wives. God created our wives. Genesis 1:27 tells us God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God created woman, just as we have read. He's the author of woman. And so go to His Word to know your wife. She is under the same curse of sin as all humans are, but she is also under a more specific curse. Did you know that? Genesis 3:16, God says, God put a specific curse upon Adam's wife, saying, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. There are things in that verse right there that teach you how to know your wife. To know the struggles she's going to go through. To know the temptations that she's going to face. That specifically applied to her. And so to know your wife, you should go to the first source. Go to God and His Word. So that you can know what these things mean for a wife. But you are not just to know women in general. You're to know your wife specifically. There are general truths about women that apply to all women, just as there are general truths about men that apply to all men. But to be an expert student about your wife, you're going to have to spend time in that field of study. And that means sometimes not going out with the boys, if that's what you do all the time. That means sometimes turning off the television, if that's what you spend your time doing. And sometimes that means telling other people, no, I can't minister to you today because my wife needs me. And if you have to do that, don't fear. God is not limited by His ministry to that person by your availability. God calls you to your wife, to know her, to spend time with her. And nobody's ever become an expert in their field of anything by occasional study. Nobody's become an expert anywhere on anything by just once in a while dropping in and spending time with that person or that subject. It happens through a great deal amount of time. And there is no substitute for this time. No substitute for the time that you should spend with your wife. If you are not there with your wife, you will not know your wife like you should. I want you to think about your time, I just want you to look back in history just this past week. Just this past week, husbands. How did you spend your time with your wife? I know that life can be busy. There are great demands on our time, but that's all the more reason that we should be aware that we must be deliberate and intentional about spending time with our wives so that we can know them. Living with them, experiencing life with them, allows us to know them. Gives us knowledge and understanding about what makes them happy. About what brings them joy. What brings them joy, or what causes them to feel insecure, or what gives them fear. Time with our wives enables us to know that. And there can be no replacement for that. Think of how you would feel if you hear the Lord God telling you that He loves you, but that you're on your own. You wouldn't see that as love. That's one of the greatest promises in the Bible from God, is that I will be with you. I will be with you. And I guarantee you that that is one of the things that your wife wants the most, is simply for you to be with her, living with her. And that will give you knowledge of your wife and understanding of your wife. And then you can put that knowledge into practice. You can put it into practice. And practice the second way that God calls you to live with your wife. With knowledge and understanding, you will be able to see who you are living with, know her, and understand that she's not just a woman in general, but she is a person to be honored by you, the husband. And I will tell you guys that who are not husbands, if you do not honor women now, again, you won't be able to just walk into a room and turn on that switch and say, I'm going to be a guy who honors women or honors my wife. So be cultivating that in your life right now, men. Whether you think you're going to get married or not, you never know. You might get married someday if you're not married. And you need to be ready. So be cultivating a life that honors women. The husbands, you are called to live with your wife and showing honor to your wife, which is the second part of the first half of the verse, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. And let me just say, we're going to deal with the weaker vessel part next week, because that's one of the motives for what we're doing here. This word honor is a word that means to highly value and esteem. It is to consider something precious. It's the same word that Peter uses in chapter 1, verse 19, where he says, you have not been redeemed with perishable things, but verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ. It's also the same idea that he used when he talked about what we just read earlier. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Is your wife in your sight very precious? Because if she's not, you're going to have a hard time honoring your wife. If you do not highly value her, highly esteem her, it's going to be a long, long, hard road for you to ever get to the point where you can honor your wife. But God calls us to take this action, to be intentional about honoring our wives. And if you consider her precious, I can guarantee you that whatever it is in your life that you consider precious, you will show honor to it. You see, it comes from a matter of your heart and your mind. What you highly value, you will take care of. Even your own body is like that. But if you don't value your body, you won't take care of it. And there's even certain parts of your body that you take more care of. So like if you threw a ball at me and it comes flying by my head, I don't go like this, trying to protect my ears. What do you think I'm going to try and protect? My eyes, right? It's just natural because I want to protect my eyes. It's likely that that ball could do more damage to my eye and long-term damage than it would to my ear. So if you do value something, if something is precious to you, you're going to show honor to it. It's a natural cause and effect. So is your wife precious to you? And if you answered yes to this question, I should be able to come to you and say, give me three ways that you value your wife, that you honor your wife. Because it's more than a theory. It's more than a thought. The honoring here is rendering honor. That means giving or showing honor. It doesn't mean think in your mind that your wife is precious. It actually means to do something that honors her. But it has to start in your heart and mind. And God calls you to take that action. But I would tell you this also, that if the evidence is not there, if the evidence is not there that you're honoring your wife, and do not fool yourself and deceive yourself that just because you think your wife, that you're honoring your wife, that you are, because it will surely come out in actions. And I want to challenge you tonight and ask you, do you really want to know, husbands? Do you want to know if you really honor your wife? I don't challenge you to go home and look in the mirror and ask yourself that question. I ask you to go home tonight, to get your wife by herself with you, and ask her if you honor her. What does she think about how you treat her? Ask her and listen to her. Ask her if she says, yes, you honor me. Then say, honey, how do I honor you? This could be a real tough moment. If you give her the freedom to be very honest with you, it could be a tough moment. But it could be a glorious moment. It could be a moment that could change your marriage. It could be a moment that opens up a line of communication and a line of conviction. If you're really serious and want to know if you are honoring her, then ask her. This is part of being a student of your wife. What if God only told you that He loved you? That you were His child, but He did nothing to show you that He loved you? What would you think of that? You see, husbands, God is our model. He thinks of us as the apple of His eye. We are precious to Him. We are His delight. He speaks to us with loving, kind, encouraging words. And He took action towards us in sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to pay for your sin, that He might live with you. You see, with you being a sinner and not having that sin being paid for, God could never live with you. But He took action. And I'm challenging you husbands tonight to take action. To take action in honoring your wives. As God did, He showed us His love for us in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. Thinking and showing are two different things. But if the heart is there that says, my wife is precious, then the showing will be there too. And so if the showing is not there, then do not deceive yourself in thinking that you do honor your wife. Showing her honor starts with how you think of her. Is she your delight? Is she your only delight as far as a woman is concerned? So I can tell you, if at times when you're away from your wife and you're getting on that phone and you're looking at women that you can fantasize, you will not honor your wife when you're with her. Because you're not honoring your wife when you're not with her. It goes together. She has to be your only one. She has to be your delight. She has to be the only one that you have eyes for and passion for. Is she precious, husbands? Is she precious in your heart and mind? Because if that's the way you think of her, then you'll show it. You won't be able to help it. What you think of her will come out in your words and how you talk to your wife. and how you talk about her to others. So use your words to encourage her, to build her up, to honor her. And what you think of her will also determine your deeds towards her. The world has conditioned us to think, the stores and the marketers have conditioned us to think, that on certain days, you better honor your wife. Right? Her birthday, your anniversary, even Valentine's Day for some people. You better honor your wife on those days. The cards and all that stuff, the candy and all those things, the jewelry and all that. But I can tell you, that's a great thing to do, and I encourage you to do that. But if you're not honoring your wife in between the anniversaries, if you're not honoring your wife in between the birthdays, those efforts are going to seem hollow. They're going to seem empty. When it comes around to a birthday, tell her how much you love her and how precious she is and how special she is to you. If you're not honoring her in between, she's not going to believe it. Because that's not how you honor your wife. You show it on a daily basis. It has to be a regular habit of your life. Well, husbands, if you obey this call from God on your life, if you live with your wife showing her honor, you will likely have a wife who will be so glad to submit to you. You won't have to worry about that. If you're rightly honoring and considering her precious, you'll have a wife who would just love to submit to a man like that. For she will not fear you. She will not be in fear of you. She will trust you. She will know that because you honor her and highly esteem her, that you have her best interests in mind. And that's what God is calling you to do. And this is not an impossible task that God is calling you to. God does not tell us something to go and do and then not equip us to do it. You can do this. And I'm not trying to give you a pumped up hurrah speech. Get out there and do it. That won't help you do it. But you can do it because you have the person and power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life if you belong to Him. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, we are told to follow in Jesus' footsteps. When Jesus gave His life for His people, He was giving His life for His bride, the church. And so we are to follow His example, to give ourselves for our bride. But He is not only our example. He is our hope. He is our hope that we can do this very thing. Husbands, you have been given in Christ the person and the power to answer this call of God on your life. And here I want you to hear this, because there is no excuse for a husband not to be honoring his wife when you hear this passage I'm going to read to you from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 5. Don't turn there, just listen. Jesus said to His disciples, "I am the true vine, and My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in Me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in Me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing." Jesus just told us there that if we are in Christ, if we are abiding in Him and He is abiding in us, He is equipping us to bear much fruit. And husbands, you can bear this fruit towards your wife by honoring her. You can do it because Jesus does not come into a person's life to not change you. He comes into a person's life to change you so that your life represents His life and glorifies God and points them to see God's glory. And the way you treat your wife, my friends, the way you treat your wife will point people to the glory of God. Because in this world, it is not natural to highly esteem your wife. In this world, it is not natural to see your wife as precious other than for your own selfish means. But for a husband to treat his wife with honor and show her honor is a testimony to the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. Now, will you do it perfectly? No. That's not the question. The question is, will you do it? Will it be the regular habit of your life? That's what will point people to the glory of God. And in that way, how you treat your wife points people to Jesus. So you cannot do it apart from Jesus Christ, as he just said here, right? What can you do apart from Jesus Christ?
Nothing.
Nothing. But what you can do in Jesus Christ is bear much fruit. So I challenge you tonight to go to Him, seek His face purposely that you might follow His footsteps. And husbands, if you need to repent of how you have been treating your wife, go to Him and repent. Go to your wife and repent. And go to your wife and ask her, do I treat you with honor? Do I show you honor? In this way, you will be that reformed husband, a beautiful husband, pointing people to see God's glory, pointing people to see Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us live a beautiful life as a husband, showing honor to our wives. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do boldly confess our inadequacy to do what you have called us to do here. But Lord, we also by faith boldly seek you. In the name of your Son and the power of your Son, Jesus Christ, to enable us to show our wives honor and to live with them with knowledge and understanding. Lord, we are totally dependent upon you to do this work. We cannot do it apart from you. So we are begging, change us as husbands. Help us, Lord, to know and understand our wives and to treat them, to show them honor, to show them that they are precious. Lord, we plead with you to make those changes in our life. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.